Sawbones is a show about medical history, and nothing the hosts say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. It's for fun. Can't you just have fun for an hour and not try to diagnose your mystery boil? We think you've earned it. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy a moment of distraction from that weird growth. You're worth it.
All right. Song is about some books. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Everybody, and welcome to Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine. I'm your co-host, Justin McElroy.
And I'm Sydney McElroy.
Well, Sid, another Super Bowl is in the books.
That's right, Justin. It was a, I would say not an exciting...
It was a bad football game. An unenjoyable...
Do you feel like you're enough of an expert on football to declare it a bad football game?
I'll say this. I've watched every single Super Bowl. And it was the worst of those that I've seen in my grand 38 years.
I would not say bad or good. I would just say it was not exciting.
It's a sporting event. Like, what other metric could there be?
For? I mean, I'd say that the Patriots and their fans are very pleased with it.
Probably not the game itself. The game itself was boring. It had a 5 minutes at the end where everybody decided to play football and do points.
I think that if you're the team that wins the Super Bowl, you don't really care about that part. That would be my guess. I don't know, though. I am not a Patriot, nor am I a fan of the Patriots, so I don't even watch football that much. Neither of us are big football fans. Like, we're pretending like we are. We're not really.
I'm not
really
pretending anything. I've watched every Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl is a shared cultural event, and we like to participate in those, you and I. I think that's a fair
the point
thing
is
to say.
The New England Patriots have won every Super Bowl for the past 17 years.
That's not true.
And they must be stopped. It's getting boring, not just for us, but for all of the NFL family of owners.
Except the Patriots,
except
who are fine
Patriots
with it.
Who are fine
again,
with it,
I'm certain probably. They're fine with it.
But yeah. We're not, so we're putting a stop to it this week.
That's right. A lot of our listeners had tweeted and emailed and messaged and said, you missed an opportunity. You should have done an episode before the Super Bowl on the TB12 training method. Mm-hmm. And I thought this isn't a missed opportunity because the thing is Tom Brady uses this method, the TB12, the Tom Brady 12, that's his number, TB12. There you go.
Got it.
Training method. Tom Brady uses this method to be so good at football. And maybe if we uncover it, break it down, and share it with the world, maybe he can be stopped.
Maybe if everyone has you're saying if everyone has his football secrets.
Maybe next year he won't win again.
He'll stop drinking his touchdown potion?
I don't know. I mean, I'm fine. I am not suggesting in any way that he be worse at football or
saying
stop anything. I'm saying that everybody else has to raise their game so that we can defeat him at football.
Get on his level with the TB12.
Uh-huh. Yes. I'm actually not going to suggest that anybody do this, but at least now we'll understand it.
Yeah.
So do you know anything? Did you know he had a secret training method? Because before our wonderful listeners were so kind as to inform me, I had no idea.
Sweetheart, no, I didn't. I don't go into training regimens for individual players. My fandom, if you will, of the NFL.
Uh-huh.
Begins and ends with the Super Bowl, and honestly, kind of hovers out of existence during the parts that are not commercials.
So, Tom Brady is. I think we can all agree that. Let's just start. He is good at football. Whatever we think of him personally, he is good at the sport that he plays.
Yeah.
And he's using a training method that seems to be working for him.
Yes.
Before I get a bunch of emails that are like, well, but this seems to work for him. Yes, I acknowledge.
Yes.
He has played for a very long time.
Seems very happy.
He is, for the NFL standards, he's an older player, not for like humanity, but for professional football. He's considered an older player, and he has played like he hasn't missed a game since like 2009 or something. I mean, he's fit.
He's fit. Well, he's a football captain.
And
he's a captain of football. I would hope he would be in good physical condition.
And a book came out a couple years ago to kind of detail how he's achieved this. And I think there have been some stories leading up to that about what he had done, but I think this really kind of opened the door so that people could see what he was doing. And it was called the TB12 method, How to Achieve a Lifetime of Sustained Peak Performance. And he put together this book. Well, one, he had a ghostwriter. I'm starting
Brady,
with that. He
Mr.
had a,
Brady sat down at a typewriter. I was like, chapter one, water. Boy, howdy, you got to pump a lot of
like
in
water.
Your body.
No, actually, that's a big part of it. Water is a huge part of it.
Okay, well, look, me and Tom
drink a lot of water. No, he did have a ghostwriter, Peter Smith, who he put together his book with. But the method, the plan, is actually developed by Tom Brady, and then probably more so by his body coach, Alex Guerrero, and that's who we need to talk about a little bit first, because Alex Guerrero, who, like I said, he's listed as his body coach, is a lot more than his body coach.
Okay.
He is,
Romance on the Horizon, Sydney?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. This
you
is
understand
from,
why the way you said that made me think that maybe romance was on the horizon.
No, this is from one interview. While Guerrero is known as Brady's body coach.
You keep saying it.
He is so much more than that. He is his spiritual guide, his counselor, his pal, his nutrition advisor, his trainer, his massage therapist, and family member. He is the godfather of Brady's younger son, Ben. He comes to every game, pretty much. He stands on the sidelines.
The pretty much was a way I didn't think you were going to end that sentence.
Well,
like,
I don't
can't make it,
says,
homie.
It specifically says almost every game.
Okay. What if he needs
a
massage?
He has a life. Like, he has a life too, I guess.
Sounds like his life is taking care of Mr. Brady's every one.
He works with his personal chef, so every single bite of food that Tom Brady eats is approved by Mr. Guerrero. Mm-hmm. His training schedule is set out not just, I found like days in advance, weeks in advance, months in advance. He has a plan for his life.
Wow.
Like, he has a training plan, sure, a health plan for Tom Brady's entire life. And of course, in regards to football specifically, he works with him at least twice a day, every day on his football.
So here you can see around 2040, we've opened up Brady's Burgers. So your schedule is going to have to change drastically to get in there and start making the burgers at 6 a.m. So you're going to have to do your curls at 5:30.
Listen, as we're going to get into his dietary plan for Tom Brady and the other athletes he works with, he would not recommend burgers.
Well, don't.
No, sir.
Then keep cranking there,
no,
Squid.
No, sir. Okay. So, Mr. Guerrero, first of all, let's find out a little bit about his background. He received a master's degree in traditional Chinese medicine from a university that no longer exists. It was
it's not a good story.
Samra University in L.A. It was closed in 2010 because the board that provided its accreditation was closed in 2007.
And it turned out a lot
closed.
Of the walls were made of styrofoam and the doors were just painted on a lot of them. And
now here's what's wild. After you get that background and then you get into like his early career, this is going to sound very familiar to you, Justin. If we reach back into the annals of medical history, this is not going to sound strange. He took the title of doctor after he finished school, just started calling himself doctor. And he wrote a book, In Balance for Life, Understanding and Maximizing Your Body's pH Factor. So we did a whole episode on alkaline water.
Like just a little bit ago.
Yeah. And like this was the same idea. So his revolutionary diet idea is not necessarily revolutionary. A lot of people who were already saying this, that you should eat alkaline foods and not acidic foods, and he had a whole list of them. And anyway, so it was not the newest idea in the world, but he sold this book and he got a little bit of notoriety among some athletes. Specifically, that was kind of who he was targeting. Like, there were some people who were interested in improving their athletic performance, and they got kind of interested in it. He started from this diet, he developed a supplement called Supreme Greens.
Supreme Greens.
Supreme Greens. It was a nutritional supplement. And essentially, he said, you know, based on my diet that I have written about in my book, you need to eat a lot of alkaline things. And the alkaline things are largely vegetables. And so I have taken the equivalent of 2 pounds of fresh vegetables and then put all those nutrients in these pills.
Vegetable pills.
They're vegetable pills.
Got it.
And his argument is that food today is deficient of nutrients because plants get 67 vitamins and minerals from soil, but we only put 3 into soil now. So I guess from that sentence, we can assume that all of our plants only have 3 nutrients now.
What are you talking about,
Sydney? These words don't make sense like
you.
This.
By extension, what are you talking about?
He made these vegetable pills to put the nutrients back in them. And
so Touchdown Tom hears this, and he's like, yeah, give me some of what this cat's selling.
So
how many vitamins are in the soil? Good.
There's supposed to be 67, but we only put 3 in. But he put them all in.
Hey, I know from a lifetime of football, 67 is more than 3. That's several touchdowns versus 1 field goal. Come on. Even Touchdown Tom can figure that one out. You're on my team now. You're my body dad.
I don't think it calls him his body dad. So it's got the pills have like vegetables and grasses and herbs. They've got it's largely just herbal stuff. It's not necessarily dangerous in and of itself, the pills. And it says that it will balance your body's pH level. Now, if that is all he had said, here's a supplement with a lot of veggies, it's good for your pH, he probably could have gotten away with selling. I mean, he did sell it. He made like millions of dollars.
You can get away with anything, by the way.
He actually didn't make millions of dollars. He did infomercials, and the companies that did the infomercials made millions of dollars. He did not make as much off of that as you would have thought.
You want me to feel bad for this gentleman?
No, I just am clarifying.
Pity for me.
I'm just clarifying.
It will be fruitless.
He had to go past that. That was not enough. He wanted to sell a lot of this supplement. So he did infomercials on both Spike and Women's Entertainment TV, and he claimed to be a doctor.
That's
in
everybody.
Them.
I guess you got them all.
He said, I need the men and the women. That's all there are.
That's all there are.
This is all they watch.
And this is all they watch.
This is it.
Why would you not watch a channel just for you?
Uh-huh. And he claimed to be a doctor, and he went on to cite studies that he had done on this supplement in 200 terminally ill patients. And he claimed that of these 200 terminally ill patients with various problems, various medical issues, that only after 8 years of taking his supplement, only 8 of them had actually passed away, and the rest of them were still alive, despite the fact that they were terminal 8 years ago, because of his pills. And he claimed that his leaf pill could cure cancer, AIDS, MS, heart disease, diabetes, arthritis, and Parkinson's disease. Oh, and if that wasn't enough, it could also help you lose up to 80 pounds in 8 months.
Wow, what a steal. What a bargain.
Yeah, and it's just like a veggie pill. Now, you can't say that on TV.
Come on.
You can't get away with that, Alex.
You can't say that on television.
No. Somebody eventually will call you out on it if you peddle fake cancer cures. Eventually,
not as quickly as you would hope.
No, but eventually somebody will call you out on it, and that someone in this case was the FTC, who said you can't call yourself a doctor if you're not a doctor, sir,
and
you can't tell people that your veggie pills cure cancer or AIDS or MS or anything else that if they don't and they don't.
So you can't do that.
And that study that he cited, the 200 patients, totally fabricated. This was a whole new level. A lot of the stuff we talk about, it's like
contorting.
Yeah, like they did have patients who did take it, and like somebody got better and somebody didn't, and they're just, it's bad science. A lot of this stuff was just made up. So he got in trouble because of this. And again, I don't think the Supreme Greens...
Just for that?
Yeah. Sheesh. The Supreme Greens pill probably is not dangerous in any way. It's just a bunch of herbal stuff that I looked at the ingredients. There's nothing that struck me as dangerous, but it is dangerous to tell people I can cure your cancer and scare them away from actual medicine that could help them in favor of your veggie pills. So he had to pay like a $65,000 fine, or that gave him the option he could hand over the title to his 2004 Cadillac Escalade. And he was not allowed after that to present himself as a doctor, market Supreme Greens, or anything like it for the treatment of disease from then on, for life.
And the end. Well, folks, thanks so much for...
No, that wasn't enough.
Okay.
Because, as I said, Mr. Guerrero had not made his fortune. And he still, I would say, and I'm going to probably insist on this through our episode, I think he's a true believer. He believes in the stuff he says. He's convinced himself. And he wants to convince you too. And he convinced himself that he was onto something with his various nutritional ideas. And so he came up with a new company called 6 Degree Nutrition, which marketed a bunch of different supplements. But the big one was something called NeuroSafe. And NeuroSafe was specifically targeted at athletes, because you've probably heard a lot about the traumatic brain injury that can occur, the multiple concussions that, yes, that people get while they're playing sports, specifically contact sports like football.
Yeah. You're holding the ball for the guy and he's about to kick it. He misses. He drills you in the head.
I don't think that's the most common way.
There's many common football injuries that I've seen in my time on the gridiron.
But basically, he said that if you take this, it will protect your brain. He described it as like a seatbelt for your brain.
A seatbelt for your brain.
Yes. And that if you do this ahead of time, you can prevent all of the damage that can occur from multiple concussions. And he got a lot of people on board with this, and including
me.
No.
Hi, everybody. I'm Justin McElroy for Brain Belt.
No, including like Wes Welker went on record saying like, yes, I know that this will protect me when my helmet can't. And like Tom Brady said, NeuroSafe makes him feel good. And basically he got big name athletes coming out and saying like, yes, this will prevent this horrible injury that, you know, at this time was being more well understood and was making a lot of headlines on its own. And so he came out with this product and he got in trouble again in 2012.
And that's the end of his story, man.
It continues. But before I tell you what happened next, let's go to the billing department.
Let's go. The medicines that escalate macabre
for the mouth. Not all heroes wear capes. Some heroes watch war movies and then review them.
Friendly Fire is a war movie podcast for people who don't necessarily like war movies, although it does not exclude people who love war movies.
I'll have you know that I am wearing a cape. My cape is just made of sound-deadening material from an audio recording studio.
It's a really great show. John's daughter doesn't like it because we sometimes say swear words on it, but almost everybody else that has ever listened to it has enjoyed the program.
Download and subscribe to Friendly Fire wherever you get your podcasts.
To the victor, go the spoiler alerts.
So, Sydney.
So, it continues.
Yes.
So, as I said, the FTC stepped in again because they were concerned that some of the claims he was making about NeuroSafe kind of violated that like lifetime ban they had put on him
slightly
about making false claims.
Yeah.
About
a lifetime ban on lying.
On lying. He wasn't claiming to be a doctor this time, but they basically said you have no evidence for any of these claims. There's no science behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to, you know, tell people they can, I think it was like a drink that you could drink, and you can drink this thing and it will protect your brain, and maybe then people are going to go get hurt and think they're okay and not seek proper treatment and that kind of thing. But despite all this, they actually didn't really, they told him he couldn't market it this way, but they didn't sanction him, really. Like, they didn't do much to him. They didn't punish him, so to speak, because he had sold so little of it. And as soon as they started writing him letters, he just stopped marketing it. And he actually even agreed to refund all of the money.
All right. Fair game. You got me.
So there was a violation, but it, like, if you look at, like, what did the FTC do to him, it doesn't look, I mean, like, he didn't do much, because he kind of went, okay, you caught me, I'll stop.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, I got carried away. So the question, though, at this point is, we have this person who kind of fits into, like, our typical Sawbones model of a little bit of a snake oil salesman. Like, I think.
Say a lot of it, but okay.
A lot. Like, he made false claims. He sold a fake cancer cure. He got in trouble for it. How did he end up as Tom Brady's
best friend?
As his buddy? How did they meet? That's because by the time we get to this NeuroSafe product that he's marketing, Tom Brady's endorsing it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big deal. So how did this happen? Well, as I mentioned, his book about alkalinity and eating had made some waves among some athletes. So there was a certain level of, like, specifically, I think track athletes were reading and kind of passing the book around and talking about, like, I think this might be helpful. I buy into this. This is a good idea. And from there, he got the attention of Willie McGinnis, who also is a football player.
Okay.
For the Patriots. I'm telling you, because you look like you didn't know who I was.
All right, Sid. I guess I didn't know who. Was it Willie
McGinnis?
McGinnis, yes. Yeah. Okay, got it.
Anyway, so he started working with him first because they made contact somehow, and he was like, hey, I like this plan. What other ideas you got? So they started working together on, like, some training regimens, and he wasn't, like, officially part of the Patriots training team or anything. He was just helping out players. He was freelancing for players from other teams too. There were other, I think LaDainian Tomlinson worked with him for a while. So there were players from other teams that were also working with Guerrero on his training regimen. But it was from this that Brady started to get wind of him and other members of the Patriots as well, that this program is really successful and the players who are using it are really liking it. And they're thinking this guy might really be onto something secret, something special that all of our other sports trainers aren't doing. Cause this was his methods were not the same as any of the, you know, sports medicine trained or physical therapy trained or, you know, physiology trained, any of these specialists, they were totally different. So at this point, Bill Belichick gets wind of this.
Okay.
And he says, well,
Patriots coach Bill Belichick.
Yes. Very good.
No big deal.
If this is an advantage, I want it.
Whether it's part of the rules or in absolute violation of the rules, I want this advantage I can claim.
So he makes an exclusive deal with him, essentially, that, no, you're ours. Whatever your training secrets are that my boy TB12 likes so much, we're keeping them for the Patriots only. And so he became exclusively linked with the Patriots around, like, 2008. And especially that was when, if you're a big sports fan, you may remember Tom Brady had an ACL injury that took him out. It was, like, the first game of the season.
Yeah.
It took him out for, like, the whole season. Uh-huh. And that's a huge deal. An ACL injury is a huge deal for a football player. And he nursed him through that injury. And of course, Tom Brady came back and was still great and all that. And that really solidified that relationship. So that's how he got in there. And that was why by 2012, Brady would be endorsing his product, NeuroSafe. What goes beyond that? Because if we get into the TB12 method, the book and the website and the training center and everything that has come from that is not just supplements. It's a whole, I mean, really, like, if you get down to it, lifestyle would be the right word to use. It's not just a diet. It's not just exercises. It's everything. First and foremost is the alkaline diet.
Sure. So important.
You have to eat 80-20 alkaline acidic. 80% alkaline, 20% acidic.
Got it.
At all times. And just to kind of review, an alkaline diet, like, it's largely a vegan diet. It's largely a plant-based vegan diet. So I'm not gonna critique the diet too much in terms of like what you actually eat. Obviously, we've done a whole show.
I mean, it's working for him, obviously.
Well, we've done a whole show on this whole idea of alkalinity and acidity is probably all... Well, no, it's fake science. Like,
it's fake.
It's not probably. That doesn't matter. But I'm not going to quibble with eating a plant-based vegan diet. That's fine. He avoids meat and dairy. There are certain foods like peppers and tomatoes, mushrooms, eggplants, which are specifically really bad, which I would say are probably fine. But whatever. I'm not going to quibble with the diet. The physical regimen, like the actual training regimen, is kind of strange. As I tried to find like descriptions of what they do, it sounds like really intense massage therapy, but they talk about how they're going to work with the muscles to prehab them. This isn't rehab.
Prehab.
Prehab the muscles. And the argument that Guerrero makes is that a lot of what athletes do, or just people who work out in general do, is strength training, lifting weights and such, that will make your muscles too firm, like too hard.
Uh-huh.
And so when you like do sports, then they don't stretch well. They're not, you know,
hey, the good news
bendy
here is,
enough.
The good news, I'm ahead of the curve, sounds like. Sounds like maybe I'm in top football shape.
You don't want your muscles too tough and sinewy, because then when you do stuff with them, they tear.
That's what I've been
or
saying.
Strain.
That's what I've been saying this whole time. What a vindication.
So he says that his program will keep you strong while keeping your muscles soft and pliable.
Excellent.
That's the big thing. Pliability is the big word. That's different from a lot of what you would see in other sports medicine training programs, where they talk about strength and they talk about flexibility, but this is different from flexibility. Flexibility is a real thing that's important, you know, range of motion and all that, if you're gonna like throw footballs and everything. Pliability is a whole other thing where you have to keep your muscles soft. And as far as I can tell, there are no studies on this. I couldn't find any other like exercise physiology people or sports medicine people or physical therapists who were advocating this. And it's not those things, because like he even got in trouble once for doing something that was sort of like physical therapy, because he's not a physical therapist, so he can't do that. Mm-hmm. It's some sort of massage, and then also a lot with resistance bands, and there was some sort of like anti-gravity treadmill that somebody was on in one of the one of the things I read.
I know,
and they mentioned like,
man alive, that sounds funny.
They mentioned like it was in this like men's magazine. He was talking about doing like an anti-gravity treadmill there and working with him. And he was like, and then I passed Giselle doing like sit-ups until she passed out. So sit-ups apparently are part of it. But when I tried to look into like, does anybody buy into this or their studies on it? I couldn't find anything. Tom Brady describes it as when he sees like a lineman charging him, my brain is thinking only lengthen and soften and disperse. So that's how his muscles handle all those hard hits. They lengthen, they soften, and disperse. This is not a thing.
I hope his brain is also thinking like, I should try to do a touchdown here.
I don't.
Do you think his brain also thinks that?
I think it seems wild if his brain is just thinking
about like, I'm about to get hit by that guy, I shouldn't think about anything else. He's probably also thinking about touchdowns.
It's
touchdown
very
glory.
Much, and I didn't get into all of this part of the regimen. It very much is though like a spiritual, mental thing.
Yeah,
like it's more than like there's the training center where he does physical activity, that is the exercises and massage and all that stuff he does. There's the diet, but there's more.
A what of the soul? You know,
right? There's a whole no, but I mean that's part of the whole training program.
What of his touchdown soul?
I found in a New York Times article, they interviewed a professor at McMaster University in Hamilton, Ontario, who's an expert in muscle physiology, a guy named Stuart Phillips. And this was my favorite. They asked him about like muscles, pliability, softness, all this stuff. What do you think of this? And his response was just, it's balderdash, which, man, I guess you have to be a muscle physiologist to pull off being able just to look at somebody and say, it's balderdash. It's balderdash. But whatever he's doing, a lot of members of the team bought into it. So for a while, he was a fixture in the locker room, on the team playing, on the sidelines. He was there working with a lot of members of the team. It was voluntary. It wasn't like Belichick wasn't forcing them to work with him, but also Tom Brady's doing it. So right. There probably was some pressure, like, well,
yeah, Touchdown Tom's doing it.
Yeah, sure you don't wanna... TB12.
Hey, are you sure you need that huge pile of mushrooms? Because
Tom says mushrooms are bad.
Tom says mushrooms are bad and also tomatoes. A very boring pizza Tom enjoys. No cheese, no tomatoes, no mushrooms, no sauce.
I don't even know how much bread he'd eat.
Okay. So TB12. Not a big pizza boy.
No, I don't think Tom Brady eats a lot of pizza, would be my guess.
He just won the Super Bowl. Would what be my doing? Guess. What are you going to do now? Well, not eat a pizza. I can't eat pizza anymore.
He went to Disney World. I saw a picture.
He went to Disney World, it looked like, with another player. Like, well, yeah. I'm not sure that's what they mean, right? Aren't you just your family?
Maybe it's like a team trip. Sort of like when I went to show choir, like with show choir to Disney World.
He was there quick, too. I would want a day to just kick it. I don't feel like walking around Disney World. I just did a Super Bowl.
Have you been paying attention? He doesn't need to just kick it.
It's true. His pliability's off the chart.
Yeah. Anyway, so he was really intrinsically linked with the Patriots for a while, but there were conflicts with the actual training staff, with probably all the, like, physical therapists and sports medicine people and trainers and people who like went to school and did training in this and studied and know how to do this. And we're all there saying like, this is this stuff. Some of it isn't harmful. Some of it's fine, but some of it doesn't make sense to us and it's not what we're doing. And so there was some conflict. So he was actually like removed from his access for a while. Mm. There was like a big story a year or so ago where he was like removed from the team playing and it was a big deal. But it sounds like now he has access.
That's
back.
That's why he's only at some of the games.
That might be why. But it sounds like he has reclaimed that access, probably largely due to the fact that him and Brady are still totally tight.
Homies
still
for life.
Yeah, still complete buds. And I would say that if Tom Brady wants it, he probably gets it. If you ask Tom Brady in an interview about it though, he ends the interview pretty quick. I found some like transcripts of interviews where people will ask like, so what's the deal with Guerrero? And he pretty much says, I'm not going to talk about that. And I got to go now. Bye. Like, I'm not answering questions and I'm done with you.
Dang.
So he's back in good graces for the most part. There were some rumors right before the Super Bowl that there were people on the team, maybe some staff members, like the trainers, who were blaming Guerrero's training program for some of the injuries that Gronkowski had during the season. Another player on the team
of football
who had multiple injuries.
Patriot, I believe.
Yes, that they were blaming Guerrero for how many injuries he'd had, and saying that if he had just stuck with the regular training program that the rest of the players were doing, that he would have been okay. But these are just rumors. I don't know. It at least speaks to the fact that there's still discord there. There's still issues. Like I said, there's a website. You can buy supplements through their website. They're largely just like protein shakes and like, you know, electrolyte replacement stuff. Like nothing that we've talked about. None of these other things that I've talked about. You can buy workout gear. You can buy their book. It's all very expensive, I would say. But then I don't know if you're buying like elite athletic training equipment or supplements. I think they're all very expensive. So it's probably as expensive as all that other stuff. It's very expensive. It doesn't work. You know, then I would say that's very expensive.
It's extremely expensive.
But I don't know. It works for Tom Brady.
It doesn't. It doesn't work for Tom Brady.
Well, something works for Tom. Tom Brady is very good at football.
Yeah. Tom Brady is paid to keep himself in great physical shape and to only eat football food. Like, yeah, it's not working for that. Like,
okay.
So irritating. It doesn't work for this dumb alkaline diet and the dumb stuff doesn't work for Tom Brady. It's like we call it anecdotal evidence, right?
That's
it's like
fair. Anecdotal.
This is completely anecdotal. So it's not proof that it's working for Tom Brady. You could argue that like Tom Brady's football family that birthed him to do touchdowns is probably working for Tom. Absolutely.
Well, I mean, there's the argument to be made that Tom Brady was good at football before he met Alex Guerrero.
I'll make that argument. I'm over here saying, yeah, Yeah, that seems right. He didn't like rescue him from like a downed spaceship and wrap him in a blanket and say, "I'm going to make you good at football" by not letting you have tomatoes.
I think the big problem with this is that, like, once you've been linked with somebody like Tom Brady, who is not just, we keep saying good at football, but like his ability to keep coming back and playing and not miss games and not get injured and recover from injuries, it's pretty remarkable. And I don't think it speaks to necessarily anything other than he works really hard and he trains a lot and he eats really healthy and he takes very good care of himself and all those things, and probably also some genetic factors. And he's incentivized with lots of money to do so. But I think that once you're linked to somebody like that, it's going to give you a lot of legitimacy. And it's important to remember that this guy came from selling fake cancer
pills. Yeah, like fake cancer pills.
Which is really bad. And usually you don't get to continue to ascend to fame after that. After that, that's usually the end. That's usually the last thing on the Wikipedia article, not the first.
So,
which is that's where this guy comes from. So as far as the TB12 training method, there's no science behind it. There's no evidence for it.
Like Tom Brady's endorsing this training method and the eating method.
Go to the TB12 website.
I would rather not. So Tom Brady
Or the book. Like the book that he wrote. I mean, he didn't write, you know, he helped with. It's his face. Like, yes, he endorses this completely. Now, there's a lot of the like language you have to use to get around the FTC. Like, for me, this works, or I have found, in my opinion, in my experience, there's a lot of that stuff that like blunts it so that you don't get in trouble. And what they're claiming now are not cancer cures or anything like that. It's just like, do this stuff and you'll be better at sports, which is regulated a little differently, you know. But there's no evidence really for it. There's just anecdotal. I'm not going to say that the diet's unhealthy. The alkaline acid thing is nothing. But if you want to eat a plant-based vegan diet and you don't like mushrooms, I'm not going to tell you that's bad. And I'd say that the training is probably, I mean, there's no evidence so far that it's dangerous other than these rumors about Gronkowski, but there's just rumors. I don't know. So I'm not going to say it's dangerous, but is it the best training? Well, no one else would agree that it is who knows these things. I am not a sports medicine specialist, but it sounds like all the sports medicine specialists would say no.
This has been a truly shocking morning, Sydney. I can't believe that I have reason to dislike Tom Brady. thank you so much for listening to our program.
You know Tom Brady's secrets.
That's Tom Brady's football secrets. Now go throw your tomatoes in the trash and be good at football. thanks for listening to our show. We hope you enjoyed it. We sure enjoyed having you at the show, this virtual show that we have. Thanks to the taxpayers for the use of our song Medicines as the intro and outro of our program. We really appreciate it. And that is going to do it for us. So until next week, my name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And as always, don't drill a hole in your head.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.